You've surveyed some 3,000 students all together. What were the main findings about their feelings towards the traditional classroom and the classroom furniture?
Well, it was 300 students actually in this particular small study. It's part of actually a large suite of research we've been doing for a number of years into the schooling environment and how that impacts the way that children learn and the way that teachers teach. But this particular study, though, really did focus strongly on both teacher and student perceptions of the way that the type of furniture they use impacts the way they engage, the way they learn. Yeah. So the major findings, look, doing this sort of research in education is always a bit of a difficulty because you have to try and sort of isolate, issues that are really hard to just keep by themselves. So it's hard for us to say the furniture has caused this to happen or that to happen. It's more a suite of things we're finding. Certainly within this project, we found that the students were highly enamoured of the more flexible sort of furniture arrangements. That's the first finding. And the second is that teachers themselves found that in a more traditional classroom, they had to work much, much harder to keep the students engaged to the degree to which they would like. So in a nutshell, that's what this smaller study has found.
What were the main factors kids thought about when choosing certain furniture in the classroom?
Well, the students themselves came up with a new word called comfortability, which we enjoyed. The reality is there's no surprises in this. I think any teacher would understand that that students themselves tend to have quite strong opinions on what they would prefer. And we weren't surprised to hear that it was things like having a variety of types of furniture to choose from and being able to place themselves in different spots in the classroom to work with colleagues who they wanted to work with. For some students, they wanted to be left alone and left quiet. For some, they wanted to get into groups that they preferred because they knew that that group was the group that would help them to learn what they wanted to learn. So, you know, those sorts of educational priorities that the students themselves were determining, we call that student agency, that was facilitated by the furniture. Mm. So, you know, in our area of research, it's important to note that it's not the furniture that causes this. Furniture is just part of it.
So could you give us some examples? Obviously, you know, as you say, it's just part of it, but some of the examples of these things that have been incorporated into classrooms that have kind of, you know, led to the kids making these kind of decisions?
I think the critical one goes back to the notion of variety. Tables, you know, a classroom in the sort of ilk that we see more and more of, and our research shows it's around about 25% now of classrooms in Australia and New Zealand are like this in primary and secondary areas. And they're characterised by a bunch of things around the design of the space itself. So we work with our architectural colleagues in that area. But as far as the furniture itself goes, the characteristics they talk about are things like having a variety of table heights, types of seating. Some students like to stand and work at a high table. Some like to sit on a high stool. Some like to pull out screens they can actually put around themselves to get a bit of privacy. The ottomans are only a small part. In fact, they're not particularly enjoyed by students. They don't mind them, but they don't really love them. But certainly things like the couches to sit on to read. And this comes back to the conversation piece that we're talking about, where it seems funny that the students are at home and have been doing homeschooling, and for a lot of students that's sitting at the kitchen table. But also, as we know, students at home, when they're engaging in things they want to do, they'll lie on the floor on their back, have their feet up the wall, they'll be on a couch, or they'll sit at a stool, or they'll do whatever it is they feel. And yet classrooms traditionally haven't been giving them the same variety of opportunities. So the type of furniture we're talking about does exactly that. It gives them a variety of options in how they want to learn.
And do we have any sort of research yet on whether this does suggest, you know, flexible arrangements like this does lead to higher achievement?
Yeah, we have. Our larger research group, and at the University of Melbourne and in collaboration with Edith Cowan, we work in a group called Learning Environments Applied Research, which is a collaboration between faculties of education and architecture and medicine. And we've done a lot of research over time. A big project that we're finishing at the moment was a Innovative Learning Environments and Teacher Change Program, an ARC linkage grant. Now, part of that was that one of our PhDs in that program came up with statistical findings that shows in the more innovative spaces that have this type of furniture as one of the elements, students engage better. Teachers engage in what we call high impact teaching strategies much more often, and that students engage in the thing that we call deep learning, which is learning that goes beyond just being able to memorise and put back into an exam, that goes into actually students using that knowledge to then build greater areas of knowledge, linking it to other ideas, all those characteristics we want to see our 21st century people come out with.
Well, Wesley, it sounds like some intriguing research. Obviously, some things to, take on board as we are rearranging our lives after the sort of worst effects of the pandemic. I do appreciate you joining us and bringing us through this one.
No, it's been good, Sean. Thank you for talking to me.